you, Dr. Iyer. And our next speaker, is Dr. Jacob Warren, Engaging Students in Rural Health Disparities Research.
Okay, so as they say, now for something completely different. So I did want to say, I heard someone earlier in the audience mention, I'm glad that people came out to this rural and remote meeting location for our session. So glad that we have some kindred spirits here that are used to having to fight that long road, right? So I'm glad, no financial disclosures, quite the opposite. Most of us usually end up losing money on our work. So wanted to start off with some acknowledgments. This is supported by a grant from the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities, and of course the views are those of the authors and not the federal government. Also wanted to thank up front the faculty, staff, and community members who make our DESRI program possible. Without them, it would not happen. No matter how much grant funding you have behind you, if you don't have the support of the community, then it just doesn't occur. So we're really fortunate to have some really good community partners and faculty and staff involved. So if you're here, probably don't have to spend a lot of time talking about why we need to look at rural health issues. But a fact that we like to talk about is that even though it's about 15, 18, 20, depending on which definition you use, percent of the population, less than 0.1% of all NIH R01 funding goes to rural health-focused issues. So there is virtually no research that's done in this area. And, of course, there's two sides to that. One is convincing NIH reviewers that rural is an important issue that needs funding, and the other is flat out having enough people that are interested in doing rural health research in the first place. So the second half of that is what we're tackling in this project. So as I'm sure you all know, a key ingredient of engaging students in anything is really mere exposure. If you can get them exposed to a certain community, a certain type of population, they'll become more interested in that inherently. So the goal with this is to look at how we can expose people to rural health and get them really engaged and hopefully fix the pipeline issues. So any type of program that's going to provide hands-on research training opportunities, especially within a rural setting, is really important. So that was our main goal with this project. Another thing was to sort of turn the training model on its head. So if you think about traditional academic training, the goal is to get people up the step one step at a time. So we'll start out with undergrads, try to get them to grad school, try to get those to become postdocs, and so on up the chain. So we want to progress them over time, and there's sort of been two models that are used traditionally. So one is you have the senior researcher who's going to mentor everybody, and that's what they do. So they're mentoring the early career faculty, the postdocs, the grad students, and the undergrads, all at the same time. But more recently, there's been a move towards more of a peer mentoring model, where, of course, you sort of have one step above is what's mentoring. So you'll have the independent researchers mentor the early career faculty and so on down the way. Because, you know, let's face it, who's going to be best to help an undergrad student with a transition to grad school than someone who has just gone through that transition themselves? So that's sort of the peer mentoring movement. But again, it's still this sort of discrete training model process. So the model that we like to use really comes from rural because any of y'all who are in health promotion or outreach or anything with rural patients know you've got to do whatever you can with them while you've got them, because you might not get them back. So that's the idea behind the training model that we implemented here. The idea there is we have spheres, or I guess circles of influence, which, of course, all overlap. And so instead of having this discrete process, let's bring all of the people together who are involved and have co-mentoring across the entire spectrum. So you have the postdocs involved with mentoring the undergrads while they receive the mentoring from independent researchers and so on. And so this tiny little pentagon in the middle, which unfortunately should be much bigger, is where our whole mentoring activity takes place, particularly in this program. Because the idea there is we have everybody there at the same time, so let's do all that shared mentoring. So to give you a brief background on the DESRI program, it is the Disparities Elimination Summer Research Experience. I have to remind people, it's not DESIRE, it's DESRI. Very different application pool. So it's a six-week full-time, we call it an internship, but it's really a training experience. If you're familiar with NSF's research experience for undergraduates, it's a little bit like that, but it involves undergraduates and graduates at the same time. So as a part of the six-week full-time program, they complete coursework, they're engaged in research projects, there's some experiential learning, outreach, and mentoring all in this really, really intense six-week period. So students are flown to Georgia Southern University and provided lodging in a residence hall, which really helps build a cohort feel among the students. They do receive compensation for their 6 weeks, and they receive 3 hours of course credit that they have to register for at the university. Again, it is supported by an NIMHD Center of Excellence grant. We piloted it in summer 2013, and then we had our first full year this past summer. So Taking a look at the curriculum, they complete didactic coursework, so 2 hours or 2 to 3 hours stats. They get an extra hour, which I'm sure they loved. But coursework for 2 hours each week in statistics, research methods, health disparities, and research ethics. So when I get to our competencies, those are the core areas that we're trying to increase student exposure to. Then for their research experience, the Parent Center of Excellence has ongoing research projects that are a part of any Center of Excellence, and so they're paired with a research project within that's already ongoing. So they get that experience of working on an NIH-funded R01-style project. Then for community immersion and outreach, they spend an entire day every week out in the field. And I'll talk about some of the experiences they gain there, but the idea is we don't want to bring them to rural to sit in the classroom. If we're trying to show them rural, we need to actually get them out into the community. Then they also complete mini courses. So that's professional development, health communication, seminar, working with communities, and then peer mentoring. All those are smaller components time-wise, but from an impact perspective, these are some of the things we get the best feedback from students about. Particularly health communication. In the first year, it was just a one-hour guest lecture, and the students responded so well to it, we expanded it out to a full mini course the second year. So this gives you an idea of a sample schedule. So 8 a.m. Monday stats, right? What else would we do to them? So then you can just see how it's sort of spaced out with research projects, visits, et cetera. This was a year one schedule where we put our community visits on Friday. We quickly learned it was better to put them on Wednesday to break up the week a little bit because by Friday they were a little bit zonked. So year two, we put them put those visits on Wednesday, and it really helped keep them from getting burned out on the academic side of it and gets them re-energized about, oh, yeah, that's why I'm here to look at this. So we have competencies and learning objectives. I'm not going to go through all of them because we'd be here all day. But the health disparities are two main program competencies. We want the students to be able to describe the unique sociocultural aspects of rural living and then to demonstrate cultural competence in working with rural groups. And so we have various learning objectives that are tackled in each of the courses that address those. There's some examples are on the screen. Then for methods, we want them to be able to design a research study to address a health disparity issue, but then at the same time be able to integrate knowledge of specific rural factors that influence methodology in any type of research project. And then again, some sample objectives there. With stats, we want them to analyze data generated from rural health research. So what are some data considerations that we've heard some about already? What do you do with small numbers if you're trying to go out and get secondary data and all the data are suppressed because you're in a rural county? What are the kinds of things you can do? And then how do you interpret and present data to a variety of health literacy groups? So not just to peers and other academics, but how do you go talk to a sixth grader about nutrition? And then within ethics, being able to describe the importance of ethical guidelines, of course, in the context of human subject research, and then being able to apply those ethical principles, and then the examples of the learning objectives. So for the community immersion experiences, again, these are those full days. They would go out sometimes to present at various summer camp programs. So we have a very active AHEC in Georgia, and so one of the experiences there was to go to an AHEC summer program to help try and get high school students into the health pipeline. We have a very active migrant education program the Department of Education for Georgia, and so they went out to some of those summer camps where the goal there is to bring migrant children in to show them what university is like, and here's how you can get into college. And so they were able to be mentored, and then I can add in six bubbles to that bubble I showed you before of having to reach down into high school and below. There were also visits to local farms, visits to migrant farm worker barracks to show them what that process is really like. And it's very different from what you might have heard. Homeless assistance programs. They went out to Federally Qualified Healthcare Center to see the variety that you can have. We have a very active network in this part of the state, and even within one network, you have big differences in the types of FQHC facilities you have in different counties. We also exposed them to working with a translator, which opened their eyes a lot to how you even would be able to get health information to someone who doesn't speak English. And so they had to interact with an individual, not looking at the translator, trying to space your sentences, all the process y'all have probably been through. But if you've never done it before, it's quite jarring to have to start that process. So as a part of this, we had them do a photo voice sort of knockoff, not quite as intense, but they documented their experiences in the community throughout the entire summer, and then at the end that was incorporated into a photo book that they took with them. So for our outcomes in year one, we had four students. They were all local to Georgia Southern because it was our pilot year, so we had three undergrads and one grad. And then year two, we had six students from across the country, so four undergrads and two grads. So our two grad students came from University of Houston, University of South Florida, and then our undergrads from Berkeley, Tuskegee, New Mexico State, University of New Mexico. So we had a nationwide call, and it was made over 100 applications for six slots. So hopefully some of you will start similar programs because there are a lot of students that are interested in doing it. So in year one, they worked mainly on some needs assessments of 8 rural counties, and then they delivered presentations for various groups. And then in year two, we decided to add more structure. So we divided those 6 students into 2 teams of 3. So each team was led by one of the grad students. They had 2 undergrads with them that tackled a project within that parent research project. So they really felt ownership of what it was that they were doing. So they had to go through the entire article preparation process. So by the end of it, we had a draft of a journal article, actually, that had come from the summer experience. So we're still working on 3 of those 4 to get them finalized, but 1 is under review, which is good also for them, because then you have undergrad students working on publications. That's definitely going to help them through their process. Thank you. So these are some of the projects of this past summer. 1 was looking at depression and aggression, so the link there for rural women. And another was looking at cultural differences and body image ideals to look at how that's influencing processes. So the students got really fired up about it. It was really great. So when you think about our evaluation, we do a pre-post assessment across our 26 learning objectives, sort of a self-rated comfort level. So one of them, for instance, how comfortable are you with your ability, maybe I won't move the mouse, to discuss the origins of health disparities, et cetera, so 6-point Likert type response scales, and then some self-evaluative statements, so trying to look at are we impacting their passion about rural health issues in general. And then process evaluations, of course, what was it like to get your paycheck, that kind of question. They like that. So for the learning objectives, this is just from the 2014 cohort. This past year is our first year. We only have 6 students that have completed the process, and we're already showing significant differences pre-post. So there was significant improvement in self-rated ability across 17 of the 26 learning objectives with just 6 students. So we are definitely making an impact. It's really promising what's happening there. An additional 5 of those were borderline significant, so 22 of the 26 were really showing promise on impacting. And then on the self-evaluative statements, you can see we had impact on things ranging from their understanding of health disparities to being able to apply conflict resolution in research teams. As some qualitative comments, I like those because they always give you a little bit more behind it. So my understanding of rural health and health disparities has deepened and expanded. Before the program, I only knew that disparities existed, but not how, why, or what exactly they were. So again, trying to get people a little deeper into it to see, wow, there is a whole world of research here. Then a second student, my understanding of rural health and health disparities changed dramatically. I've read about rural health prior to this, but actually living in the rural area and visiting EGHC, that's our FQHC location, changed my view about the severity of health disparities in the rural. There's no spell check or grammar check in the online system. But just quick, some lessons learned to wrap it up. 1 was the variety of schedule. That was one of the things we learned right away. Do not have the same thing every day because the students aren't used to that type of environment, so to speak. The second was open time, so they were completely scheduled the first year. The second year, we built in a couple of 2 to 3 hour blocks where they could work on some assignments, catch up. I'm sure some of them slept a little, but whatever they needed just to get a little break, because it is intense. Clear and redundant financial information was really important to be sure the students understand exactly what they're going to be compensated, how much, when it's going to happen, which you can understand why that's important. We had social events, so we would take them out to dinner, we went bowling, they went and played disc golf, which both kept them engaged and cohesive as a cohort and also showed them what's recreation like in rural. So we can't just go to X, Y, and Z because there's not one. And then a little mold has varying definitions. This is South Georgia, and so we had a student tell us there was a little bit of mold on one of the couches in his room, and then we didn't quite realize that a little mold was about that big until the end of the summer, and went in and there was a spot of mold that big. So we just learned to clarify a little. By a little mold, what exactly do you mean? And the last thing is just the students are impressive. These students really blew us away. They were just top-notch, really passionate about the issue. Once you just showed them what was underneath the surface of this disparities word they hear so much, they really got fired up and mad, which is good. So they really took that passion back. One outcome I did mention, we already have 2 students accepted into grad programs, 2 of the undergrads. So 1 in a rural health-focused clinical psych program. So really excited about that. So if you have any questions, there's our contact information, and I assume we'll do questions at the end, right?
Well, we hope that you finished early, so we have about a minute. Yes.
Quick question. We would love to. It's that question that all comes down to funding for all of us, right? So we're really hoping to be able to accept more students in future because we have how many applications already for this year? So if any of you have students, please encourage them to apply. The application is still open for 16, 15, whatever next year is, 2015. Thank you.
I have a quick question. So this model seems really great for intensive learning. Mm-hmm. So did you, were there other programs that you scoped out to kind of see what they were doing? And
the only similar thing that we came across was the NSF's research experience for undergraduates, where they do bring them in for non-health related scientific research. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have the same mentoring process. We thought that was really important. If the goal is to get them into this type of work, we wanted to add in a more structured mentoring community immersion experience. So really we didn't find it.